Man, I hope if you enjoy, I know our band hasn't played a lot, but if you enjoy the band and you enjoy the way the worship's going with Summer, and she's doing a great job of leading us, let them know. Speak to them. Tell them how much you appreciate it, because sometimes we get a little down on ourselves. Probably not necessary, but we do it. So if you like it, if you like what you're hearing and you want more of that, definitely you need to tell Summer and the crew what's going on with that, okay? Well, you should come to the practice. Barb always walks into practice and says, it's too loud, turn it down. And we're like, no, we're cranking it up. We're ready to go. God is good all the time. I knew you guys could be counted on with that. Hey, if you've been in our recent Sunday services, you know that we've been talking about the real God. The real God. Now, that just sounds kind of strange, right? Don't we come to church expecting to hear about the real God? I mean, don't we come to church? We don't come to church expecting to hear about some false God or some crazy God or some out of the box. Well, he is out of the box, isn't he? Anything. We don't come to church thinking of anything but to hear about, learn about, get to know better the real God. But what I mean about what we've been talking about recently is who God really is, right? We're not talking about who we think he is or who we've made him out to be or who we've decided he will be in our lives. We're talking about who he really is. We've understood that he's not bigger or better than what we can imagine. He's not. He's not bigger or better than what we can imagine. He is actually not even in a category that we can fathom. That's the point, right? He is completely separate from us. We are his creation, and he's eternal. Exactly. He's eternal. I had a conversation this past week about what does that mean to have a God that's eternal. Exactly. I don't know. He was before, and he will always be, and that's the best I got. I can't explain how God became, because God always was. What? Right? So that's the God we're talking about. We are his creation, right? We are his creation. We were formed from his creation. And he was before all else, meaning everything there is. That's easy to understand. Not? And on top of that, here's the catch. He always will be. Right? He always will be. Now, if you haven't been with us for the last 3 weeks, let me get you caught up. First, we realize that we will never find God unless we're actively seeking him. That doesn't mean that he's not seeking us. Please don't hear that. Don't think that because we might not be looking for God today, he's not looking for us. He's constantly seeking us. But we will never find him until we turn and start to seek him. It also doesn't mean that God's not active around us. God is always active around us. Those of you who are connected to the spiritual world, those of you who have spiritual eyes, are filled with the Holy Spirit, and are living for Christ, you see him move every day. Every day, somewhere. Something happens and you're like, wow, God, how did you do that? I thought I was going to lose my job today. I thought I was going to be in an accident just now. I thought something crazy was about to happen, and you just brought all that chaos and got rid of it. How? We also know that God is good. His entire existence is good. And everything he does is good. That's hard to hear sometimes, right? But at the very foundation of who God is his goodness. He is good. Even though we can't truly understand him, we know that everything he's ever done in us, through us, around us, and in, through, around everyone we've ever known has been good. That's why Christians repeat the old cliche. Let's see if we can do it. God is good. And all the time? All right. We've all have this idea of what goodness is. But what we know is in God, we find all good. And then there's this new understanding of the sovereignty of God. Remember that one? That was just last week. I was the one left here with a headache. Remember? Trying to figure that out and explain it is just really tough. Here's my best way. He's bigger, better, stronger, and more knowing than anything we can grasp. God's sovereignty tells us that he is able to give us everything that he promises and more because he's not limited like we are. He's outside of the limits that we experience. If we can figure that out, the other things are pretty simple. I'm not sure if anyone took the time to look up the three words I threw out last week. So let me give them to you again, along with their definitions in a short form, okay? God is omniscient, meaning that he's all-knowing. There's nothing that God doesn't know. He has it all. We don't get it, but he does. He's omniscient. God is omnipotent, meaning that he's all-powerful. He controls all things. There's nothing that God cannot do. You get that? Nothing that limits God. He is outside of those limits because he is omnipotent. And he is also omnipresent, meaning that he is everywhere all the time. There's no place that you can go that will separate you from God. No place. He's always there. He's always seeking you. And if we, you and I, would just stop and turn and receive, he wants to bless us. That's his nature. That's the goodness of God. I want you to take some time over, I don't know, maybe the next 100 years, and try to let that soak in. And when you figure it out, if any of you figure that out, I want you to call the office and make an appointment because I need you to explain it to me. It's big. And that's why it comes down to if you can figure out who God is, then your God is too small. That's really why that's such a big deal. As soon as we figure out how to manipulate and make God into our image, he then became too small. Today, I'm going to speak to you about the holiness of God. This has been an incredible study. If anybody loves to study, just come and see us when this thing's all over, and we'll give you some notes. And you can try to dissect it and try to put it in. And yeah, you can do that. And you'll be right where I am right now trying to figure out how to tell you how to do that. But if you want those notes, I'll be happy to share them. Because this study has just been incredible. And as I meditate on the holiness of God, I find myself overwhelmed. Overwhelmed. To think that a God who is all of those things that I just defined would be interested in me is more than I can understand. But when you add to the mix his holiness, it becomes completely baffling. I mean, it's just, what? I want to start today by sharing two passages of Scripture that, at least I think, in my mind, go together seamlessly. One is in the Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. And the other is in the New Testament book of Revelation, chapter 4, verses 8 through 11. Will you please stand with me in honor and reverence to the Word of God? If you're going to try to follow along, I'll be in the NIV today. And it will obviously be on the screen as well. It says this, Isaiah 6, 1 through 4. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet. And with two they were flying, and they were calling to one another, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Whew, what an awesome vision. And then Revelation 4, 8 through 11 says this, Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under its wings. Day and night, they never stopped saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fell down before him who sit on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. You can be seated, and I'm going to pray. God, I am so amazed by who you are. I am so amazed by the holiness that you call us to live. I am so amazed by the ability of your creation to try just a little bit to figure out how to live for you. And I'm so amazed that you've called us to this place where we can learn more about you, where we can be challenged to live closer to you, where we can figure out a better way to share who you are in our lives with everybody that we come in contact with. I pray, God, that today you would open our hearts and our minds to receive whatever it is you have for us. And so, God, hide me in the shadow of the cross, that I would only speak your words. And if anything gets away from me, God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would protect every ear, that they would hear exactly what your Spirit is saying to them today, and only what your Spirit is saying. Now, God, glorify yourself through us, and we'll give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God is good. I mean, that's just how it is. And I don't know what else to say, but I do want to ask you a question this morning. I don't want you to answer it. I just want to ask you a question so that you'll think about it, so that you'll ponder it, so that you'll put it along with those other three words and think about it for the next 100 years or better. And I know some of you are going to live longer than that, so that's not going to be an issue. And I just want you to really seriously think about it. What comes to your mind when you think about the word holy? What comes to your mind when you think about the word holy? Because to be honest, this word's kind of tricky. It actually means to be set apart, consecrated, sacred. It's to be spiritually perfect or pure and without sin. From these words of definition, we can see that if God is holy, then he is set apart from everyone and everything, right? I mean, there is nothing that compares to God. If he is perfect and pure and without sin, there's nothing that we can think of in our lives that meets that criteria. He's not just different, like someone who's the best athlete or the smartest person in the room. God's holiness means he is utterly unique. Utterly unique. He truly cannot be compared to anything. Exodus 15:11 says, "Who among the gods is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders?" I see this as Moses praising God for his holiness. He points out that God is majestic, that he's awesome, and that he works wonders. Working wonders means that he does incredible things, like we were just talking about, things that we just don't understand and we can't explain. They're incredible. They're wow. Right? In other words, everything about God's holiness is huge, mind-blowing, amazing. And his holiness requires us to respond. Ouch. Okay, Pastor, I'm leaving now. I got enough. I know what's going to happen here. His holiness requires us to respond. His holiness demands we increase our respect for God. Look at how Isaiah responded to God's holiness. Remember? On the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord lifted high, right? Immediately following that passage, after seeing the Lord high and lifted up, Isaiah says this, "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Isaiah expected to die at that point. He expected to die. He realized how sinful he was the second he found himself in the presence of God's holiness. God's holiness demands respect. I wonder how much we really, really respect God. I wonder if we truly think about what it means to respect God. How often do you think about God? If you really want to know who or what you respect, this will answer your question. The things you meditate on are the things you respect or covet. We're told not to covet, but we're told to respect. So the things that we truly find ourselves thinking about are things that we either respect or we covet. Psalm 77, 12 and 13 says this, "I will consider your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. Your way, God, are holy. And God is as great, what God is as great as our God." His holiness also demands we say yes to personal holiness. Personal holiness. We just talked about holiness. Holiness is being set apart, being pure. God's holiness demands that we have personal holiness. 1 Peter 1:15 and 16 says this, But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. We were created in the image of God, and he has not given up on our ability to be who we were created to be. The Apostle Paul tells us that we're being made into God's image as we walk in the Spirit. I know if you've been here for any amount of time, you've heard this pastor speak about walking in the Spirit. That's the key. We have to walk in the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:18, the Apostle Paul says, and we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. That could be read as we're being made holy as we walk in the Spirit. I'd say it's a good reason for us to pursue personal holiness, wouldn't you? 2 Corinthians 7:1. Therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence to God. But Pastor, I don't do it that often. It's just occasionally. It's fun. It gives me something to do. It's how I connect with my friends. Therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything. I don't think it says from the things that you want to. I think it says from everything that contaminates body and spirit. That's the only way we will be perfecting holiness out of reverence to God. You might have to deny yourself of something. Wow. I don't like that. You said you were leaving. I get it. I understand. It's hard to hear that. I have to make that decision? Again, Paul's telling the people of their part in this walk of holiness. He's referring to the promises given to the Israelites by God, right? He said he would dwell with them. God, he said he would dwell with them, that he would be their God, and that he would have a relationship with them. If. Why has that got to be there? He would dwell with them. He would be their God, and he would have a relationship with them if they would follow him. So what does it mean to follow God? It means to pursue personal purity. It means to give up toxic things and contaminating things that we do. It may be a toxic relationship. It may be a toxic habit. It's anything that makes you anything but pure. Do you get that? Everything and anything that comes between you and God. Anything and everything that hurts this temple. Anything and everything that causes discord in your relationships. Whoa, it's almost Thanksgiving. Go ahead and raise your hand if you're one of those families that never has an argument during Thanksgiving celebration. Yeah, that's what I thought. I don't think those exist. It's like Thanksgiving is an opportunity for us to get together and share all of our opinions that don't agree with anybody else in the room. And I just want to say this. If you're Italian, I've been with you. I know how that works, and you're all fighting by the end of the day. Anything and everything. Wow. What's in your life that makes you not pure? What's in your life that isn't pure? What's in your life that causes you to question your Christian witness? You know, when you do it, you're like, well, you know, so-and-so might not think that's okay, but I know it's okay for me, so I'm okay. What's in your life that causes you to question your Christian witness? What's in your life that makes you think that you can't live as Christ has asked you to live? Those are the things that we're talking about today. We're called to be holy as He is holy. So we have to do our part to live as He is asking us to live. And this is a lifelong pursuit for each of us. It's a way of life that we grow into as we walk in the Holy Spirit and practice the presence of God in our lives. I'm reading a book right now. It's a real big book. I think it's got about 60 pages. It's a lot of book for me. And I'm reading it right now. It's called Practicing the Presence by Brother Lawrence. Some of you have read it. The reason it's a really big book is because you can't read one page and then go to the next. You got to read it 6 or 10 or 25 times and let it sink in. Practicing the Presence of God. This holiness is something that we can attain, but we'll have to continually remind ourselves of who we are in Christ. Continuously remind ourselves of who we are in Christ. And then we need to allow the Holy Spirit the freedom to show us what we need to quit doing, or where we need to quit going, or whatever it is that He might show us, so that we can make the next step continuously toward personal holiness. Do you know that God will call us to do things, to go places, to say things, to grasp things? He'll give us a passage, or maybe a book. In my case, it's a book. He gave me Ephesians, and He said, dissect that thing. I don't want you out of that book until you get it. And as soon as I started to understand a little bit about walking in the Spirit, He said, okay, now read Galatians. I'm like, what? God, you're blowing my mind up, God. This walking in the Spirit thing, what? Do you know that there's times when I step out of the Spirit and I say something really stupid and I cause a problem among my friends? Continually walk in the Spirit. Whatever it is that God's pointing you to, whatever it is that God's telling you, you got to lay it down. Lay it down. Get it away from you. Pursue personal holiness, and you'll find yourself living closer and closer to God. This brings me to the three words that are very important as we bring this life of holiness into ideas. Justification, sanctification, and glorification. You know, these are hot topics. If you go to a theological seminary, you will begin to hear people talking about justification, sanctification, and glorification. If you go to the family dinner at Thanksgiving, if you have a few Christians and a few non-Christians, you'll hear, might not be these words, but you'll hear conversation about justification, sanctification, and glorification. If you go to the neighborhood bar, you will hear conversation about justification, sanctification, and glorification. These are hot topics. These are words because they're things that people want to know about. Justification means declared holy before God by faith in Jesus. Declared holy by God through faith in Jesus. This is positional holiness because it means that we who turn to Christ are free from sin, and our faith in Jesus makes us holy before God. We who turn to Christ are freed from sin. And then we find ourselves holy before God because of Christ, because of Jesus. Sanctification is the process of being made more holy. This is known as practical or progressive holiness because it is a constant walk in the Holy Spirit as He brings us closer and closer and closer to Jesus. There's a definite beginning to this walk, which takes place after we have been justified. Justification, salvation. They could be the same word in some ways. But as we practice what we learn and accept the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we become more like Jesus. And that means we become more holy. Finally, glorification. Glorification means declared fully holy for eternity. That's what we're all looking for. Declared fully holy for all eternity. This is permanent holiness. And it happens after this life is over. Glorification is when we pass through death to eternal life and find ourselves totally free from this world of sin that we live in. It's when we receive our reward for following Jesus through this life. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I probably should call this my life verse. I quote it so often. I constantly am going back to it. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is good, pleasing, and perfect will. This is holiness for us today. As we continually lay down our lives for Jesus, He continually fills us and makes us more like Him. It's the Holy Spirit living in us that makes us holy. That's why it's so important that we walk in the Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit living through us that makes a difference in our lives and in the lives of those we touch. Do you know that your life touches lots of people, some that you have no idea you're touching? God, He can change our families, and He will change our families, our friends, and our community if we will begin to live according to this verse and give the Holy Spirit freedom to lead us in this way. The holiness of God is not just kept to God Himself. He puts it into the people who follow Him. We are called to be holy as He is holy. This happens when we realize He wants to give us a gift that will change us deep inside. That means He makes us holy when we allow Him. When we allow Him through the Holy Spirit, the freedom to lead us without holding on to the steering wheel. You thought of that? It's hard to let go of that steering wheel, especially here in Spring Hill. But He makes us holy when we give Him the ability to speak in us and through us and take us where He wants to take us. As we let go, even if it's just a little bit at a time, He fills us and He refreshes us and He begins to lead us toward a holiness that is only found in Him. I want to end this morning by reading a prayer. It's the prayer that you have on your bulletin insert. I would like us to read it, recite it together. So, would you take out that paper? Some of you are like me and you have to get out your cheater glasses and put them on. Stand with me and let's read this together. It says this, O Lord God, holy and pure, awesome in majesty, as I consider your perfection, grant that I might commit to holy ways, think holy thoughts, live in holy obedience, and reject evil with a holy attitude. Let me hear the tender conviction of your Spirit, and help me remember that you are jealous for your holiness. Because of your love, you see the pain our sins will bring us, and you long to rescue us. So that your name will never be profaned in my life, you have my permission to do whatever you need to do to make me holy. In Jesus' name, amen. I hope you'll keep this close to you for the rest of this series and read or pray it every day, maybe multiple times each day. And I'll be praying that each of us are changed as we become more holy through the transforming of our minds by the leading of the Holy Spirit. As the worship team comes back to the stage, let me ask you a question. Are you living in a way that glorifies God all the time? Does your life represent the holiness God asks us, you, to live? You can be who God created you to be, holiness and all, if you're willing to lay down your life for Him and become the living sacrifice He asked you to be. These altars are here for you if you would like to come and pray.